This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso. Oh, it's fabulous! A strike to get you up off your feet!
Hello and welcome to Seagull Social, Season 4, Episode 9, I believe. I'm not too sure. But anyway, we're in Marseille, boys.
We are.
We're in real life.
We're all together.
I can touch
great.
Jack and you.
Yeah.
He's better looking in real life.
Yeah, I agree with that massively, obviously.
You're a bit worse for wear today?
Yeah, I had a heavy night last night, but you know, you might as well enjoy yourself.
Exactly, you're on holiday.
He doesn't smoke, but he sounds like he's had 80 bags.
No, I did. I had a cheeky dart.
A couple of rogues.
Yeah, a couple of, you know, drunk cigarettes. They're always fun. So, yeah. But yeah.
But you're all good nonetheless.
Yeah, all good, all living safe and sound. Yeah. Managed to avoid all the ultras. So
love
good.
It. Yeah, we did.
And Ben, how are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely shattered, to be honest. But what a couple of days it's been. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Experience. That it's been, yes, insane. And Marseille, bad rep for what it is, but the city's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
I want to talk to you about your experience, like in general. Let's talk about the general experience, just like the first away day. I know I spoke to you for Sport World, but your first away day is a Brighton fan.
I mean, I'll stop doing teary-eyed tales of Dagenham, which I think I've told every single Brighton fan
I've met
this weekend.
Do you know what I really like? Your Man United analogy.
We've seen it all. I got the train down Wednesday, took the whole day to get down here, just sort of took it in a nice stride. A few lagers, a few of those.
We saw it. If you follow Jack on Instagram, then you'd have seen it. It's just constantly like drink in the hand and then drink down and when it's empty. Just
don't worry, I'll get a really good reel.
About 180 slides on his Instagram story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Like, I saw that. I just tagged that.
I think it looks better when you do it really quickly. It's like just like that.
Nice.
But I had a few of the Leffo blondes, and you've got to be careful with those. They're
dangerous.
Deadly drop they are. but they're not fruit juice. Neither are any of the French beers. So I got the train down, had 4 hours in Paris, had a little sit around, spoke to a guy in a pub in Paris who spoke to me for about an hour and a half about how much he loves Chris Waddle.
Who doesn't?
About the mullet, you could have gone mullets. And I said,
hour and a half in broken English.
It was luckily
you
I was
talking about Muller.
Yeah.
Luckily I was disgustingly drunk, so the whole thing solved the problem. And then got down to Marseille about 8 o'clock, went to the pub, and then it all got a bit hairy.
It did,
yeah,
because of one individual.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you know, some people were giving the Marseille ultras, they don't mess around. You know, the ones who I spoke to, Marseille fans, have been lovely, but you know, they know what they're doing, these Marseille ultras.
Tell them a story, like what happened, I think.
Yeah, go on. Yeah,
so one guy, won't be named, but an older gentleman who thought would have been a bit more sensible. Obviously, I had a few drinks, so he had a bit of courage. But a French guy was going past on a moped outside this F pub, and he gave him the wanker sign, the English guy did. And then he, pulled over and was like, "You want a problem? We'll give you a problem."
Yeah.
And then from there, he kind of threatened us to bring the mob down, and the old man that done it left.
Left us
for dead. Yeah. So all the Brighton fans are going, right, they're going to come. So a few people left, and then but everyone came back again, and it was fine. But then about an hour later, after we'd been singing for about half an hour outside, that's when you could like see the ultras in the distance coming down.
It went from 100 ultras to then like 50, and then it all went down, and then we saw videos, it was like 20 of them. But yeah, there was a lot of stories of like...
But it's not like, it's nothing like we experienced in England at all. Anyway, you know, I'm used to three dickheads in a Stone Island jumper at Rotherham away and like, you know, walking around just going... There's one thing, I'll never be nervous about a single domestic away game again.
No, of course.
I went to a different pub and someone threw a banger under our table, which was quite exciting. And then we just went in the pub and the lockers came down. But
you were locked in there for a couple of hours.
We were in a couple of hours, still serving.
Oh, beers, great. So.
Little locking.
Locking, yeah.
Unbelievable.
But they don't mess around. And I did try to say to any Marseille fans, because they have people go around on mopeds and take pictures of you.
So the scouts.
Yeah. I mean,
I saw so many of them. It is
quite mental. But there's some Marseille ultra somewhere who has like 100 pictures of me having a pint. What's he doing with all these
pictures? On his camera roll.
Yeah, like coming past and filming. But I spoke to one of the people doing it in my drunken wisdom.
Yeah.
And he was really sound. I had a good chat about the game. He was talking about like saying Aubameyang is mainly a star. Saying, oh, he's really good player, this, and this. And it was quite interesting. Yeah. So they were nice people. Yeah. I think it's all part of the reputation, and the reputation's right.
I was about to say, like, I think it was a lot of scaremongering, first of all. Like, oh, like, be fearful, you know, don't do this, don't do that. But then, like you said, you have to be careful.
Yeah.
But if you seek out trouble, you're going to get trouble. Yeah. And I feel like if you're just a normal bloke, going to the football, when you just, like you said, you just want to enjoy yourself. Exactly.
Those fights that everyone saw on social media, like casual chat and stuff, those were loads of people that went looking for it.
I don't think people really went looking for it, but I think it was people who were just going to stand up for themselves.
Right.
And then the tear gas incident, I think there was some ultras throwing tear gas. It all got a bit... hairy.
But thankfully, I don't think anything, because again, there was rumors of stabbing and stuff like that, which was...
That wasn't true at all.
That
would have been on the news.
But that's what I mean about the whole scaremongering. Like, it's just, it felt like... But anyway, but no, like you said, I think it's been incredible three... Well, however long.
We'll gloss over the violence.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't much of it.
It wasn't really. It was just... I just thought it was amazing, and it was an amazing experience to experience something like that. Probably not on the good side, but it was like crazy. And it's interesting to see this European culture of football, because it is amazing.
We're going to get on to obviously with the game, but like they are on a different level.
They're on a different level.
I cannot explain how incredible. Like whoever went to the Athens game at home, or everyone watching, listening, if you think that was mad or like impressive, I think Marseille was on
a 100 times scale.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Mental. We'll get on to it with the game anyway. But
I wanted to tell you a story about, obviously, Tony Bloom's brother on our Ryanair.
On the way out, we went from Stansted on Ryanair, and this bloke, so everyone on our flight were like, he looks a bit like Tony Bloom. Mm. So as he's walking past, I just literally went, excuse me, mate, do you ever get told you look like Tony Bloom? He goes, yeah, I do get that quite a lot, actually. He goes, I'm actually his brother. So we're like, oh, fair play.
And
we're like, why are you on the Ryanair flight? Like,
there's no way Tony Bloom's brother would be on a Ryanair flight.
So you thought he'd be like on a private charter or with a team. Yeah. And he was like, oh, I've actually got a meeting tonight.
Well, did you not see the video of Tony Bloom doing the announcements? Flight from Heathrow.
That's class. Yeah. Do you know what I love? Is like, we're such a family club.
Such a nice touch.
Like, even was it with the tickets as well? Didn't he? Because people were struggling with tickets.
Yeah, they delivered some of the tickets to the airport.
Like, just stuff like that. It is amazing. And to see like Tony Bloom's brother on our flight was just mad.
And I think one of the best things about everybody who I've been speaking to out here, it's been such a good experience of like speaking to Brighton fans, you know, chatting with them, you know.
I've met so many people.
People who I haven't, you know, seen for ages and stuff like that. And, you know, people who you see from like, you know, from back in the Wivdeen days, people used to sit next to me at the Wivdeen in the North Stand. You just see everyone, and it's just been an amazing experience, the whole thing.
That woman you spoke to yesterday in the square, she had a well nice story, didn't she?
Oh, lovely, she was talking about how, like, she was from the Goldstone era, and now she takes her nine-year-old son. He was actually, funny enough, in the F pub
last night.
She brought her little son in, he's 9 years old, had her on her partner's shoulders, he was singing Seagulls in the pub, it's just been, honestly, nothing I could ever imagine, going back to your sort of analogies and your, like, nice little, like, you know, one-liners, it's like, going from like dagging them all, with Dean, we won 8-0 against Northwich Victoria. Jake Robinson scored a hat trick. Like, just imagine sat there and thinking, we're going to play Marseille Europa League football. Like, it's just insane. But incredible. And I'm sure we're going to have some more stories, whatever, going along. But let's talk about the game. And actually, let's talk about actually the match day experience as well. Yeah. Just like leading up to that, I think yeah. that's quite nice actually.
I mean, yeah, it's quite mental, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Really? Yeah. We obviously had a bit of a different experience to you, but let's yeah. hear yours and then we'll.
Yeah. So yeah, because you were in media.
Yeah, we were unfortunately. Yeah. Bastard. As embarrassing that is.
but no, so yeah, we had a square sealed off for us. It was quite.
Yeah,
nice.
We went.
The only problem with the square was there's one bar for the whole square.
Yeah.
Which was really annoying because
no toilets.
You had to go in a Burger King.
A
or
crappy
whatever.
Little like box for a DJ.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. And I don't remember.
I don't think a music act ever
yeah.
turned up.
Yeah.
They just played music out.
There was rumours, wasn't there? Yeah. Fat Boy Slim was going to
yeah. And then yeah, so then we got loaded onto buses and did a proper tour around the houses. Like we went. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it took like an hour and a half, didn't
it? Yeah, it took like it 40 minutes to do what will on Google Maps say with a 15-minute journey. Right. But will they take you out of the city along the motorway back in?
To avoid any...
Luckily, on the way back, we kind of gone the quicker route, and it only took about half an hour. Although we were stuck in the car park for about an hour.
Yeah,
and then it took 45 minutes to get back, because the police escort was nuts. Like we had what?
So you had a police escort as well
on the way back.
On the way back, we asked.
No, we came with the away.
Oh right.
So yeah, you had like a coach, police van, like for like twenty.
I mean, it's something that we've just never experienced, like at the football club, and I think not to go back to the analogy again, but it is like it's mental.
Yeah.
What a shame is the fans that were stuck behind for like 3 to 4 hours.
Because
I don't know how they messed up the amount of coaches, because surely the same amount of
I think the problem was it was the coaches got back to the centre and then got stuck in traffic getting back to the stadium.
Oh.
So it was just like, because they're trying to bring them round basically. But, if we'd lost, it would have been a lot worse.
Yeah, so much worse.
But yeah, so then getting up to the stadium was great. Took ages. It was so bizarre, like being shipped in essentially, like with police escort.
Mm.
Every row was full of Marseille fans, and when they swear, they keep like hammering like that. They don't mess around when
some of the boys at our coach were saying stuff was getting thrown at the coaches as well.
Yeah. We had a few like it's by the fun.
Yeah, exactly.
That was great. Got to the stadium probably about 2 hours before kickoff. I wanted to get there a bit early. It was sort of the way the serving hatch for drinks was.
I heard about this. Wasn't it literally like a window about that big?
And you just have to look through and bring your beer.
I heard about this.
Great to drink in your seat, though.
Oh my God, incredible.
You could smoke, drink.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Yeah. I was like, this is heaven.
And exactly. And they're very good at that, the French.
Yeah.
They're world leaders.
Yeah, they're very good at it, actually.
You have these like cup holders which are four beers.
Lovely.
And there's pictures of me with two of them like walking down.
You're
the
only doing in multiples of four.
Yeah, of course. Only drinking multiples of four.
Nice.
Stadium is a little bit of a it's very steep.
Mm.
Yes,
because someone
like the Colosseum inside the concourse.
Probably just after Grace scored and we were pitching, he just went flying down and like.
Right.
Just missed me, but dragged like three people down with him. Fucking hell. And he like bent his leg backwards. He looked he's fine. I think the alcohol definitely soothed the pain.
Who's your mate? You, the one with in the sling?
Tom.
He fucked up his thumb because he said he was smashing again.
On his good arm.
He's
broken his thumb on his good arm and he's got his arm in a sling on the other arm.
So he had one good arm and now he's got none.
It was just like, and when you get in there, you've got the Visage Nord, I think it's the Visage Nord next to you, which is just like...
The topless ultras?
Because
there's six groups of ultras in the Marseille.
Within their group, which
is insane. And you can tell when you look around the stadium, you've got like boys in orange and all the topless lads. And then you've got...
The West Ham flag at the front.
Was it?
Yeah, it just said Marseille West Ham United and had like an iron symbol on it.
Really?
Maybe they've got like that Leverkusen Brighton relationship.
I saw that at the front. That was a bit bizarre. That was up the other end.
To the right. Yeah,
yeah. They've got the Marseille Dodgers as well, was one of them.
Yeah,
1992. Yeah.
And it's but then the thing is, like the atmosphere they make, it's just like you can't get songs going as an away fan because it's just like doom 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 like that. The whole
you've got to belly yourselves. Let's
talk about the atmosphere. We'll get into the game, of course, as well. But that atmosphere was something I've never experienced.
Yeah.
So, just to give a bit of context to everyone watching and listening, me and Ben obviously were here, obviously with Brighton fans, like lifelong, but we were here through work. So we weren't in the away end, unfortunately. Well, yeah, we couldn't, I couldn't get tickets.
We were like five seats away from the away end in where we
literally,
were.
Literally, yeah. So, you know, not, we were literally right next to the away fans.
We were literally waving at some of the boys we could see in the away and like that. And they were just like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So basically, so where we were sat, obviously, it was like full of Marseille fans, but you would think where we were was like be safe per se. But then there was these two old boys next. So when we scored the equaliser, or even before basically when we scored both goals, they look at us and smile and like give it one of those.
Yeah.
And then we'd obviously do it back. And then got to the final whistle and just like this guy kept staring at us. It's like this French guy who kept staring at us. And he was like, the boys were like, yeah, he looks like he's up for a fight. Like he's been looking like the whole time. Yeah. So we're like, shit. And then he comes over to us. Yeah. He goes, are you boys Brighton? We were like, no. We're just, you know, English media. Journalist.
Was it the Stan Collymore video? Journalist.
So literally we're like, no. Like, we're not Brighton. And he goes, okay, well, because I was a teacher in Lansing. Yeah, and I lived in Shoreham by Sea.
Yeah, he lived in Shoreham.
He's like, I'm a French Brighton fan. And we're like, and then it was great, because they were like, shit, he's going to beat us up. And then, he's just like, I'm a Brighton fan, but just having it was great, And we had that little.
But the sketchiest part was obviously at full time, you've got all the Brighton fans behind the cage giving it to the Marseille fans.
And we were right.
Me and Mazza stood with Marseille fans that all like throwing stuff at them, like screaming. Stewart's having to push us all back.
And we're there, like, waving.
We're like,
we're just
going,
you're right, mate. Yeah. And then literally, I don't. I don't think we should be doing this. We're giving ourselves away massively.
The thing is, at the end of the game, there are a lot of Brighton fans. It's all part of it, you know, given the odd wank aside.
Yeah,
of
course.
I was walking down the steps and I was very impressed with them. So I thought I'd just like clap them. So I did like a clap like that. And this guy caught eyes with me and I did like that. And I went like that. And he just gave me a throat slit. And I was like, right, okay. That's my peace negotiations over.
Yeah, it went well.
Like, mate. Yeah. And I sort of laughed and shrugged and he did smile.
Oh,
I won his heart.
Yeah. Mutual respect there. Yeah. Honestly, the atmosphere. And then, when the João Pedro penalty, the whistles.
Never.
I don't think I've ever heard a noise. And I will have to say, like, Brighton fans, like, we're in good voice, but I'll be honest, until the equaliser, you could just not hear Brighton fans. Like, it was impossible to hear them. Just because how, like, what I just couldn't comprehend, and it still blows my mind to this day, even though, you know, we've had Athens and stuff, but they're just relentless. There's not one second of respite.
I've watched a bit of European football, been to Dortmund and Leverkusen, and it's very different kind of atmospheres in Europe in that they're very good at just making noise.
Yes.
They don't really sing songs. Constant
whistles, drums.
The conductors that are like they're on like a platform that's probably like three people tall, and they're not facing the game.
Yeah, they don't watch the game.
They don't face the pitch. 1 second. They're just conducting everyone and going and it's insane. But I also feel bad for the people that are stood in front of that platform. Like, what can they see?
Like looking in the ultras who were next to us, it was like a mosh pit.
Yeah, they were moshing
And then
the pyros come out,
and he's standing there with the pyro.
At one point, there must have been like five red pyros in the top.
Oh yeah.
And I said to Maz, I was like, as Lord of the Rings fans, I was like, they literally looked like orcs. They literally looked like demons. It was nuts.
But it's crazy.
The cameras do not do it justice. Said to me. It's so frustrating. I try to film them so much.
Because also we're trying to capture content and stuff. Yeah. And like, when you're in there, you're like, this is just amazing. And you want to capture the moment and the essence of it. Obviously, you want to enjoy it as well. But you want to go, and then like you said, we're filming it. It's just like, it doesn't do it justice. Mm. Like what you're seeing with your eyes just doesn't do it justice.
I know,
I'll be honest though, the Marseille, I thought it was quite empty actually in the main stand.
Well, I think the kickoff,
as the game went on, I felt like it got fuller.
Because kickoff,
it was early kickoff.
Kickoff was 6:45 local time.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is early kickoff for us. Like if Brighton, even against a huge team like Marseille, it wouldn't sell out at 6:45 because they just can't get there.
Yeah.
Because I remember 6:45 our time.
Yeah. So I remember Celtic played in Europe a few years ago and they had a 4:45 kickoff. And loads of people, like so many managers, will be watching this wondering, like, why is my employee not at work watching Celtic Legia Warsaw?
That reminds me, because like, you look at all the ultras, you think them boys, like probably some of them probably work Monday to Friday, they're like accountants or just like a normal job, and then they go there, they're topless, like absolute animals. Complete contrast of what their day to day.
But it's awesome, like a lot of respect to the ultras, like
incredible.
It's intimidating, it's But it is amazing.
Yeah. Nah. Like, and also,
and you're in awe of it almost.
Oh, like, yeah. I spent 30% of the match watching.
Yeah, because I remember George saying to me, my mate next to me, he just went, "You haven't even watched the game." I'm like, yeah, I'm just watching them because they're just fascinating. Yeah. When they did the bounce.
Incredible. Yeah. It's like the Poznan bounce, but their own sort of version. But also, as well, we had the pleasure of, because it's nice to sort of soak it all in, we had the pleasure of actually being with the Marseille fans before the game as well. So obviously, we were at the square with all the Brighton fans, and then we went and captured the Marseille. And mate, honestly, there was one point where, so there's a guy with a big microphone, we could tell he's like one of the ultra sort of like heads. So I went up to him, I was like, can we give me an interview? And he was like, small English, more like not very good English. I was like, okay, cool. But like, can we film you? And he's like, give me 10 minutes and everyone will come. We're like, okay, cool. Literally within about two minutes.
What he meant by that as well.
Yeah. We were like, what do you mean everyone's coming? Do we need to hide?
Because prior to that, we had that little kid on the bike, came up to him, goes, Brighton fans. Yeah. Like, the kid from Manchester from in between.
He's like, you're Brighton fans? And we're like, no. He's like, and he pretends like he's going to shout to everyone that we're Brighton fans. Yeah. But anyway, so this guy with the big microphone, he's gone,
Journalist.
He said that again.
So he's got up. So literally, his 10 minutes has gone out the window. 2 minutes later, he's got his mic. He's taken his top off, put his cap backwards. Stood, so he's like, where the big stairs are, the main part of the entrance. All the fans just come down. He gets on the thing and just starts doing his things. And mate, everyone's just shouting.
Surrounding me and Maz while we're trying to film.
And we're just stood right next to him. So from where you and me are, we're just abiding.
And in amongst
just,
it.
It was insane.
It's quite interesting though. I noticed down to the ones to our right, there's like a little group of home fans. And they all seem to be kids. And they all had like a megaphone. They were jumping up and down, like a youth group.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
They were like scrapping the whole time. They were like,
and they did like it was quite funny. They were doing like a wall of death. They were like running into each other. It's very exciting to watch.
And then they just stop and just all like dancing ever again.
Sounds like a death metal.
Yeah, they look like 14 years old. It's so strange.
That's mad. Right, let's talk about the football then, boys. As much as we want to try and avoid it.
I mean, to be honest, the football, it took a back seat to it.
As they say in the media world, a game of two halves.
Yeah,
a game of two halves. Don't want to bring out the cliches, but we will do.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But yeah, let's talk about the first half. Of course, it was pretty diabolical, to be honest. Well, it was a funny... Do you know what, actually? I'll start. And the first 10 minutes, I thought, first 10 minutes, we can keep it solid in this atmosphere, just keep it calm, and don't do anything stupid. And we did that. Yeah, we did that. But then we had that funny 10 minutes where obviously we conceded two quick goals.
In a minute. I didn't even realise that was like in a minute.
Oh, was it a minute? It felt like
89
longer,
seconds between the goals. I didn't even realise that. I think.
No, same. In the same. I don't even have that excuse to be fair. Honestly, it felt longer to be fair. But yeah, we had that funny sort of like 10 minute period where it just all went to shit, to be honest. And then, what was the first? The first goal was, what happened in the first goal?
Chanzo Mbemba.
Oh yeah, fucking hell. Newcastle.
No, it was a header. Yeah. Ran over to Gattuso straight.
Fucking hell, yeah. And that was just poor, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just poor. I think set pieces, we know we've had problems with it. Weirdly, we look the most like we're going to score from set pieces last night. I thought we'd bet up the upper end.
Dunkey had one.
Yeah, and I can't remember who scored the second goal.
It was
Veretout.
You're the ex-Villa bloke.
Yeah,
ex-Villa.
He's a really good, you know that football grid game?
Oh yeah,
he's a good answer for Villa.
Football
the Villa one.
That's a great show. We play that's a great show.
Olympic Marseille and Villa.
Yeah, like, yeah Donkey for that second goal, I think, was quite a suspect. Yeah, he missed the clearance.
Yeah, did he fall over? Or did he did.
He sort of fell over. But and then Jason Steele as well, maybe.
Yeah, I haven't watched the highlights at all. So
Jason Steele got a hand to it. I just think it's disappointing when you get where it's gone through him.
Yeah, it looks like it went through.
You know, not to call out any people in particular, but you know, people who were saying Sanchez would have saved that.
Yappy.
Yeah, go on.
Sanchez had his moments like that, so yeah. I don't but you know, we all know what Steele's good at and what he's not good at. Yeah, and what he's good at is his distribution, and we all know
with his feet he's good.
We all know that he can be a bit suspect, but what he brings to the team, he still bring him and Verbruggen still bring the same
but
amount.
He just conceded 6 goals against Villa, sure. Yeah. In my head I was like, I thought Verbruggen was a guarantee to start.
On that.
I think you want experience. Last night, I guess. And I think it was telling that, you know, if you look at a lot of those players, barring maybe Welbeck and...
But Dahoud.
Would have never played in an atmosphere like that. You knew I was going to say that.
When we said literally yesterday, like, Duncan March have never been in, like, you know, they've gone from fucking playing at the Wydd Dean and the Amex to playing in a hostile environment at the Stade Vélodrome. But just on that, I want to ask you, do you like De Zerbi having, you know, he's come out and said, I don't have a one. I have a one. They're both number one. Do you like that?
I'm a bit torn on it because I do actually think when it was working really well. Like, I think the decision.
It's all good until it doesn't
work. The decision to say play Verbruggen in, I think he played Newcastle game, didn't he? Yes.
Yes.
And the West Ham game. Yeah. It made sense because he's tall and be more dominant from set pieces. Mm-hmm. And as good as West Ham were, they didn't score any goals from set pieces, so we definitely solved that. Whereas United, we needed Steele for the distribution, and you know, his distribution was fantastic at United and bring it around. So they both have their same, their good aspects. I just, when I used to play football very briefly, you want to have a goalkeeper you can communicate with, and you know how it works. And I presume they're both in training, so that's the only worry, that I just think it's not settled enough.
Yeah. When you don't have that same spine, it can have a massive effect.
That's exactly what I was going to say. For me personally. I just, what I said, for the first 10 games, for example, this season, right, and I get we need rotation, you know, we need to keep people fit, and I get that, and we've got some injuries as well, obviously Purvis out now for a month. For me, I just want that consistency.
Yeah.
So have the spine, for the first 10 games, have that spine consistent, and then rotate.
Yeah, but I think the problem is, we know that we've got lots of games, and we are going to have to rotate. What I'd just like to see is a bit more consistency with the rotation. So rather than it being, you know, it seems that we've tried every single centre-back pairing across the whole squad. Yeah.
Well, apart from Igor and Dunk.
Yeah, apart from Igor and Dunk. And it's sort of, for me, I'd quite like to see it sort of maybe a bit more consistent. But, you know, look, De Zerbi, the football manager, has paid a lot of money to do this.
And he's very good.
And he's a very good manager. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not in the mood where, not in the way that I'm going to doubt him that much.
No, of
but it's
is it frustrating as a fan?
It's frustrating, and it's sometimes you don't always see why. But he's made plenty of decisions where we've gone, well, why the hell is he playing?
And it's paid off.
And,
paid
you know, we've beaten someone. No. Loads of goals. And it was like, you know, like when Verbruggen came in for someone else and then we won, and it was like, well, you know, that made sense. Or like, I think Verbruggen had a couple of good games, didn't he, against Newcastle, and then Man United, first game back, steals and goals.
Yes, okay, question on that then.
Yeah.
Would you as a player be annoyed that, let's say you do have a run of 2 or 3 games, doing really well, and then all of a sudden you're dropped? As a player,
I guess, you would be.
You would be
want to carry on your form, and then you drop, and you might lose that form.
But
the modern footballer's got to be used to that now, because so many teams rotate. I think it's not just us who are rotating so much. Like, it seems to be that we've gone. Football almost has like themes, doesn't it? Like of the ages of how it's come along. Yeah, you know, when Mourinho's big, it's all about sitting back, counter attacking football.
Part of the bus.
And then when Pep first came over, it was about tiki-taka. And now it's sort of.
Gegenpress.
Now I think we're very much in a sort of age of like sort of a Tinkerman sort of thing, where we've got like, you know, like Guardiola, most annoying manager for FPL, because you
Pep
put
Roulette.
All these, Pep Roulette, exactly. So all the best managers rotate their players around. So it's something you've got to be used to, I think.
It's because of all the games we have to play now, every single new competition.
And that's good, I like it, it's good.
Yeah, of course.
But I do agree that it is sort of, you're in a position where it's sort of, you know, it moves around, you've got to have an adaptive squad. I think maybe the problem with us a little bit at the moment is maybe we don't have the numbers
I think we've got a squad in depth.
I think quality. I touched on this in last week's. But sorry, back to the game.
We've gone on a bit of a thing. But no, yeah, back to the game. Let's talk about the Danny Welbeck chance, because I know you were quite vocal.
I was
going to
just talk about a couple of poor performances, but.
No, we'll do that. Let's do the chances.
Danny Welbeck
and Ansu Fati.
Pretty much near the end of the first half, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Through on goal.
Yeah.
Ansu Fati's in so much space. People after the game saying, oh, Fati's offside, don't worry about it. Saw the picture today and he's very much onside.
Yeah.
I get it's loud and maybe Danny Welbeck didn't hear him, giving him the benefit of the doubt, but Ansu Fati surely would have been screaming.
I don't think you need to hear someone to be able to look.
Yeah, and also to sit in the corner, I'm sure Fati would have been screaming at Danny.
Well, I think he's pretty pissed off when he after.
As soon as Danny fucked it, obviously. Fati was, you could tell Fati was, I think we said
it wasn't a squaring thing. I thought he should have just scored.
Oh yeah, he should have scored.
It's not, you know,
was a guaranteed goal, and that would
as a striker, though, you should finish those.
No, agree.
Yeah. And as a striker, you should want to, because you know Major Matt Moy, Matt Huckett, you know, 180 goals for East Preston.
Yeah,
our striker expert. he said he wouldn't have squared it because you back yourself to score those kind of goals, and as you should do. And I don't think
it's a fair point.
I think the first half we were just a bit bewildered, and I don't almost want to single out bad performances in that, because I think we got the point in the end. I think it's worth saying that
the poor first half let us down essentially.
Lamptey got man of the match. I thought he was quite poor second half he was fantastic.
Brilliant.
First half Matoma was poor.
Matoma's been a bit off it.
I don't think he's been off it recently, because obviously his ball
that's an anomaly.
I think he looked very tired last night, but he's obviously a very intelligent guy, and I did notice that sort of 80 minutes he suddenly started,
he had like a second wind, didn't he?
He had like a second wind, so you do wonder whether he'd sort of been told like, you've got to play because we need to rotate and all this, but if you just chill and then when the moments come, you need to do it.
Because he helped create the first goal,
first goal, and the
he did, and
you know, as much as the, you know, he almost got the assist for that, and that was a great little piece of play.
Unreal.
To get in a position. And
what
a
finish
as well.
There was another key moment in the first half.
I was about to say, Ansu Fati's header. That save from Paulo Lopez.
When's he ever done that in his life?
It was incredible. Because at the time, obviously, when you see it in real time, I was like, I feel like Ansu Fati should have done better. And then I saw the replay on the big screen or wherever I saw it. I think it was at halftime maybe. And just the save he's made. It's literally going like in the top right-hand corner. Well,
how he's got a hand
to that, I don't know. And to be fair, Fati, it's a great header.
Yes,
considering he's quite a little guy in stature.
Yeah.
I thought he'd done well to get that on target. And an incredible save. But let's go to the second half.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the first goal, because when we came out, I was like, we're looking better. We looked a bit more. I think the zone must have just given absolute bollocking. Yeah.
That's a good point, actually. I did mention it to you yesterday. Do you think the noise affects the players because they can't hear De Zerbi? Because you know we tinker a lot during the game. Do you reckon?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting actually. It's interesting you bring that up, because when we were sort of, Gattuso is very similar. And I noticed he was communicating to his players a lot more, and he was basically on the pitch at times. I mean, another amazing player from history who's, you know, a bit of a head case.
And they both got sent off, didn't they? Last time they met.
Yeah.
They got sent off.
Although apparently that was nothing personal. That's what he said.
Yeah, they said that it's just business, I was saying. It's just business.
Maybe you're right with the communicating to the players, because I thought we did a lot better.
Doesn't that work both ways though?
Yeah, it does.
It works. It's not like one manager's got an advantage over the other.
He just looked really frustrated on the touchline every time there was a mistake.
But I think in the first half he was shit, so he's just like, what the fuck's going on? Second half, Pascal Gross, fantastic finish.
Yeah.
Great play by Matoma, like we mentioned. Yeah, and that just really, I think, got us into it. And I think after that point, we just looked, in control, but
confidence.
Much more comfortable.
We looked like the most likely to win it.
Yes, 100%. After we got the 100%.
Very disappointing that we didn't quite get the win.
Yeah. The penalty as well. Stonewall went
flying into Lamptey. Lamptey went flying over the.
Like you said, second half, I thought he's brilliant. Lamptey.
Yeah.
I thought both were fantastic. He's putting some crunching tackles, and he just looked defensively really sound. And I think that's what we've been lacking at times recently.
Yeah,
just like having that, just that assurance of like, oh yeah, he's going to win that tackle or he's going to make that recovery. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And barring Purvis, I think that's our best back four.
100%.
Yeah,
agreed.
So
would you want to see Lamptey at right back?
I think he's been doing
it over at Beltman.
Possibly.
I'll start at Beltman and then have Lamptey as like the impact.
But to be honest, Lamptey's been doing so well at left.
He has. Yeah.
You know, we need to stop singing he's a star man.
Yeah, that's really
right.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Change star man playing down the left.
Name is Tarek Lamptey and he's. Yeah,
he's on but yeah, no. And then of course, João Pedro steps up, ice in his veins. With that, yeah. Like we mentioned earlier in the pod, the whistles and the sheer amount. Yeah. Like, and you see as well, they were probably getting in his head. They were pushing him. Like, I think Donkey jumped in.
I mean, we can really see. I did my old turning around spiel.
Yeah,
so I was.
For anyone who doesn't know, who's watching or listening, go on, Jack. What do you do?
So, last penalty I watched Brighton take was Alex McAllister's first penalty.
Wolves.
Away at Wolves. And then we got a second penalty. And I was like, I can't bother to watch this. And went and got a beer. Never since then, I just don't watch penalties. We have missed some. I haven't watched.
Same with my Brett. He never watches them.
Yeah, so I just I had to turn around.
That's so, like, fascinating.
I watched the crowd.
You walk out and...
It was like,
Derby doesn't either, does he?
No. And it was like the Athens game. I was like, well, I didn't see any of
those.
Everybody in the Amex, like, tells me to leave now. They, like, push me along the row and then get me out.
So they know they're, like, the standard protocol.
Yeah, standard protocol. So, and it seems to work.
Amazing.
But, yeah, he was... And then when he scored, he did all that today.
Yeah.
But my friends who are watching on TV, shout out Harry, didn't make the trip, very disappointed. Big guy, huge guy, lovely, but like, the nicest bloke I've ever met, actually.
Oh, cheers. Levels.
Sorry, Ryan Ansett, obviously. Nicest bloke I've ever met. But he was saying that he's never seen dirtier tricks at a penalty.
Yeah, oh yeah. They were getting into his face. Like, I think Donkey had to come over and Gilmore and like basically a lot of the players were like, protecting. Yeah.
It's because the thing now is people always try and screw up the penalty spot, don't they? Like,
I mean, the pitch
they'll go over there.
Oh my god, on a separate.
Let's talk about that. Some of the light. There was light. I think it was the rugby.
Was rugby lines.
Of course, the World Cup. Yeah. So yeah, clearly it had been used for rugby.
Yeah.
And like the pitch was in a state. It was looked dry. It looked like there was lines like where there shouldn't be. Like
during the pen though, because it was so loud. I don't know if you noticed when João Pedro stepping up, the referee's blown his whistle. No one could hear the whistle go. He's literally turning around to be like, "Have you blown the whistle yet?" Because he couldn't even hear it.
That's
the composure to bury that. Yeah, like I said, ice in his veins.
Yeah,
and then Donkey got hit by
something. Yeah, he got projectile.
Yeah, what was that projectile?
So they threw a projectile and he fell. And he's got concussion.
As soon as it was full time, because the family is staying in the hotel we're at the moment, and they told us that he's got concussion.
Oh, really?
Exclusive.
He ran back on. And then as soon as full time whistle went, he like went down, didn't he? And then, I don't know if you saw the physios went straight onto the pitch to go and get him.
Yeah.
Obviously,
what was the projectile?
I have no idea. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Lighter, probably.
I haven't seen it. But yeah, probably something like that. The funniest part.
Oh, he loves his story. He said about
when the Brighton players go up to the corner, they have to they put the nets up. The stewards bring up these makeshift nets to stop people throwing stuff. But obviously, Marseille fans came to the Brighton end to take a Marseille player came to the Brighton corner to take one. Obviously, Brighton fans are
there's a big net off around anyway.
They put a second net up. We were watching that. We were watching that, and I was pointing down and going like, "What's the need? What's the need?"
So, double protection, mate.
You
never be too safe, can you?
Well, clearly, because you got hit by a projectile.
Maybe we need more netting. Maybe that's what it is. There's not enough netting.
Wire netting.
There's not enough netting.
I have to say, when we did School the Equaliser, quite a few were climbing up the netting.
That was class.
You see Dogma's tweet, it was like, whoever climbed up that 100-foot fence, got 100-foot drop.
Like fair play.
Jesus.
That was, there was some quite funny. It was, I think, because the Marseille Ultra try and intimidate you. When you're in the away end, you just gotta embrace it. Embrace it. And
also, you're quite safe. Let's be real. Yeah. Like, there's not really much they can do at that point.
No.
Maybe later on the night or whatever. Yeah. But at that point, you're literally safe as anything. So,
you can give it as much as you want. Like, there were old men, like,
old age,
giving it to the French boys. I was like, mate, that's unbelievable. This is the old guys going, fucking
hell. That's what it's all about.
You've just got me going like that and still getting the French league just.
That's pretty much the game summed up.
We missed the first half. We've obviously been all over the shop in this game, but everyone's just trying to remember what actually happened. The VAR incident where we thought they had a penalty.
Turns out
we had a penalty, and then we didn't get given it.
Did you find out what actually? It was a foul in the build-up, wasn't it?
The referee kind of screwed up.
It was an allegedly handball. Yeah, which we got, but then it was a foul.
He didn't give it. So what happened?
Oh, on the screen it said VAR Brighton penalty.
Yeah, so it said.
But then it's a note, and then it's
so what happened was the player handled it, but it was very close range. But Van Hek fouled him.
It was a foul in the build-up.
But then what the referee screwed up with was he was meant to just let the game play on because it had gone out for a corner. Mm. But for the first time ever, they pulled it all the way back to there to have a free
kick. Of course,
And that, he shouldn't have done that.
But then that goes back to Liverpool the whole... Liverpool fans. I was about to say, that's literally what happened. Because everyone's hired the audio by now, sure.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we made a mistake. But he's like, well, stop the play. He's like, nah.
No, we can't do that.
Just stop it.
It's literally been 20 seconds. So
I actually agree. I think it should, no matter what's happened in, let's say, 30 seconds, as long as it's not been a goal or it's not been like, I don't know, something of note or another penalty, for example, I think they should just stop the game and pull it back. So, but it was really confusing in the stadium because we just saw VAR and we were like, is it for Marseille? Is it for us?
Because Marseille had just won a corner.
Yeah,
everybody thought other than
And then Ben was like, nothing's happened in the corner box, the penalty box. Yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah,
also,
so it must
apparently
be for us.
The Marseille player went down like a sack of potatoes, sack of shit.
They were going down.
Van Heck barely touched him.
Yeah. Well, they were all going down a lot.
Yeah, they were going down a lot.
Well, especially at 2-1, they were trying to waste. Sort of like even Paul Lopez was taking like 30 seconds for a bloody goal kick. And like, it was like they're just killing the game, which is fair enough. I mean, if you're 2-1,
to happen.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they're struggling, aren't they?
Although I will say, like Martinez from Villa, the biggest time waster.
I
respect him a little bit for how
he's a shit.
Yeah.
When you're that good at shit, you've got respect. Yeah.
Paul Lopez now takes that crown.
He was
up there for like shit house.
And fair play to him. He pulled out some great saves.
He did.
I'd probably say that he's their man of the match. And I was a fan of Harrit as well. I think number 11.
Yeah.
He looked good as well. But
They weren't a bad team, but I think they.
I thought Aubameyang was awful, by the way.
Yeah.
He got dragged.
I didn't even know he played.
He got dragged.
I didn't even
know. Like half time,
He's
crap. They brought on that Vitinha striker who we thought we were going to sign.
And then, oh my God, the donkey block. We've got to talk about that.
He made up for his earlier
donkey block. I literally turned around to Penn and went, building the statue. That block was incredible.
And then we went on to equalise just afterwards.
There you go.
Great. You know, it's quite interesting. I might go out and buy a copy before I go home.
Le Quip
has Lewis Dunk on the front cover making that block.
I
think I might have to go out and buy that.
We'll go out after this and go grab one.
And then, just quickly then, boys, just quick summary of the game and your thoughts.
I think we've covered it all, really. I think it's just been like an amazing experience, this whole European football thing. Like, you know, even if this is our only ever time and we only get three games because we're out of the group stage, whatever happens.
Bring on the conference thing.
And
a point on the board, more important.
Yeah, and a lot of people give West Ham stick for singing Champions of Europe after winning the Conference League. I would do that till the day I die.
Absolutely.
But I think it's, this experience of just being out here in another country is amazing. Yeah. It's football on like, crack.
Steroids,
yeah, steroids is a better one. Don't do cracks.
Don't do steroids.
I don't know why I'd wink. It has been amazing.
And also as well, I wanted to say, a point on the board, more importantly, just having that point, especially
with the result with Ajax Athens both drawing.
Group's still wide open.
That was going to be my final question.
Yeah.
Predictions. I know it's early, it's only two games, but how do you see it panning out?
I don't know. It depends if our form picks up, because like that first half was still really, really shaky.
We've got Liverpool, Man City.
I think what will be good is these few weeks were going to be our most congested part of the season. I think everybody said before the game, like, we need a point in Marseille.
We said before the game, we were like, I'd rip your arm off.
A little bit of a blessing to be out of Carabao Cup, because now we won't, this last week we've had I don't think there's ever been a run of fixtures in Brighton history where we've had, I think, five European champions in a row. Chelsea, Villa,
Liverpool.
Marseille, Liverpool, City, Ajax.
So
I think the international break's coming at a good time for us.
100%.
To just sort of go through.
Try and regroup. And then finally, chance before we wrap up, obviously, Estupiñán out for a month.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Yeah. Well, when Deserbi said he's out for a long time, I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. But then you told me that it was only a month.
Do you know what? I think it'll be.
And like you said, international break.
It'll be good for him, because I think, you know, he came back from the international break apparently tired.
Yeah, tired anyway. Mm.
So it would be good. And I think maybe we should have brought in another lap back. I think
100%.
Then Lamptey's doing so well there.
Yeah. I really wish we got that Ginger Barco guy, because apparently he's unbelievable in there. Cup final.
But also as well, we've got that Atom, haven't we? Atom.
Oh, from yeah, Salzburg. He's a more of a centre back.
Oh, was
yeah.
he? Oh,
I met him on the train.
Really?
Yeah. He was a really nice guy. Yeah, nice guy. He was. We were on the way back from Wolves.
Nice.
And I was chatting with two people I know from the football. And I went, oh, he's a Brighton player over there. And I said, oh, what's your name? And he said, Noel. And I was like, I was like, he said, last name. And he went, Atom. And I was like, oh, it's you.
Was it Salzburg or Leipzig?
I think it was Leipzig. Really huge, may I emphasise. Like, he is a unit of a man. And I had a chat with him. I was so drunk, so I don't really know what I said to him.
Doesn't sound
apparently,
like
I know. I think I said something to him about losing 7-1 to Huddersfield. Like ages ago.
Was he online or something?
No. I just.
Oh,
Brighton did. This is what I mean. I keep on bringing up all these games.
I thought you meant it was like a performance of his. Remember that game you lost 7-1?
You're probably doing an anecdote about how far we've come.
Yeah, something like that. I was like, welcome to the club. And he was really. I don't know whether he could understand anything I would say, but he spoke good English. So
one last thing. If this is what it's like having, what, 2,500, 3,000 fans in one city for Brighton. Ajax is going to Amsterdam is going to be another level. Apparently, there's talks of 8K to 10K coming to Amsterdam.
Well, we're all going to be there, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Insane.
Are you going to be there? Excellent.
I've got a ticket yet.
Dodgy media tickets.
I don't think we can finesse it this time.
Yeah, we'll try. €50 just to
we'll use our blag at work.
We'll try anyway. But and finally, just quickly, I just wanted to. I thought that video of Belaba shushing the Marseille fans
was
incredible. So yeah, shout out to Belaba, what a guy. But. Chaps, it's been an incredible time. We're going to go enjoy the rest of our time here. Mm-hmm. You're here till tomorrow?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of time, but off early tomorrow morning. So,
nice. We're flying out tonight at 7, something like that.
Yeah.
So we're going to enjoy the rest of the sun for a couple of hours. And
have
then
a nice lunch.
Have a nice lunch, yeah, 100%. Nice lunch, but yeah, it's been incredible.
Yeah, I was fancy some seafood, actually.
I fancy some seafood, yeah.
Chaps, thank you so much.
And also, shout out to Maz for coming dressed as the sofa.
Oh my god.
Well,
I just suddenly realised that right at the end that Mads is dressed as the sofa.
That's actually really embarrassing. It's really embarrassing because it's like a 90s decor. So I don't know what it says about my outfit, but I think I'm looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think you're looking good.
I'm looking very small as well, actually. Two big thighs.
Me and Mads have sort of come dressed as Englishmen abroad. You know,
respectable gentlemen.
Yeah. People who are in vineyards.
I used my cohort last night in a hospitality.
You haven't got any clothes, have you?
Yes.
Right, chaps. Always a pleasure. And of course, everyone watching, listening, I hope you enjoyed the first in real life.
It only took us 151 episodes.
Yeah.
Only took us that long. And of course, Ryan will be back. We're a bit of a rotating show now, aren't we? We're all busy people.
We'll get Adam in again.
Yeah, we'll get Adam in. But yeah,
we'll get Major on one day. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, but I hope you guys enjoyed the first in real life. And of course, keep smashing the likes. Scribe, all that good stuff, and all that social media bollocks that we love to talk about. No, generally, it does mean a lot, and it does help us a lot to grow the pod. And of course, keep streaming and listening on Spotify and Apple.
Yeah, man.
Apple?
Yeah. Apple Music, mate.
Yeah, you're an Android bloke, aren't you?
No, I'm a Spotify man. Oh.
No, I mean, you said you're an Android bloke.
You've got an Android iPhone.
I think we've had this conversation many times. Where you look like an Android bloke.
Yeah, don't.
But guys,
you give Android.
Love from Marseille.
Yeah.
Peace.
Love from Marseille. Oh. How'd you say goodbye in French?
Au revoir.
Bonsoir. No, that's good day, isn't
that's
it?
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.